Well, we're talking about prayer, dealing the areas of prayer. I went back over yesterday and sat down and listened because I was looking into the stuff I was going to minister today, but I thought about, I need to listen to what I said last week because the anointing was moving last week and it was outside my notes. But anyhow, the anointing is, God was moving. I said, man, I got to go over and listen again to what I was talking over there, listening to this. But the Lord instructed me to go over, especially as emphasizing concerning the Word of God. Because if in the areas of prayer, we can teach specifically about things about prayer, and we will, as the Spirit allows me to. But one of the things that we need to know is the most is going into it, is especially from our standpoint, and I really thank God. I mean, we have people in here who are students of the Word. They like the Word of God, and you have to. You have to like the Word of God. Your prayer life is 100% affected by the Word of God you understand and know. Not just some mental things. It's about what's in your heart. So you could know, you know, there's some people who have mentally are, you know, like mental gymnasts. I mean, they can just memorize things really easy and stuff. You know, there's some people just really smart. Like they can just memorize things. But that don't make it in your heart because you know words that are said. We need to understand this. We're dealing, when we talk about the Word of God, we need to understand that Jesus said this, that His words were spirit and life. That's what He said. My words, they are spirit and they're life. He said they were spirit. So if they're spirit, then what are they for? They are for the human spirit. That's what they're for. If they are spirit, it couldn't be for your mind because your brain ain't spirit. Your brain's not a spirit. It's an organ. So it's not for your brain. It can affect your brain and help it. But it's spirit and life. Why? It's the effect of it. In other words, Jesus is telling us that His Word affects the spirit of men. That's what it was for. It was for the men. I remember when I first heard Kenneth Hagin, any of his teachings, I remember the first time I got to listen to him publicly and I got to hear him in a meeting and he said, I don't minister to people's minds. And I said, he said, I minister to people's hearts. He said, words that I'm speaking is for your spirits, not for your heads, not for your... See, it's most people are trying to mentally grasp things and mentally... The whole purpose for your new birth and the Holy Ghost living in you is for the whole fact of taking spiritual things, as the Scripture says, comparing spiritual with spiritual. Most of the church world has gotten tied over today to the natural. And they look at it, you know, and it's like, you know, we believe God and ask for God in the areas of natural things. But just like in the areas of divine healing don't come from the natural. Doctors don't give divine healing. They can't. They heal, they work from the physical side. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. There's things physically that they can do. But they're not operating on the spirit. See, when people say, well, God gave the doctors the gifts of healings and stuff. No, they didn't. Divine healing is a gift, is a spiritual gift. It's not a physical gift. It is not mental. It can't be studied mentally. You can't go to a school from a standpoint and study it mentally. It's not a gifting. It operates out of the inside, out of the inner man. It operates out of the inner man. And see, this is the whole thing. The Word of God is designed for the inner man. It's designed for your spirit. Well, that's where faith operates. We talked about last week. Faith operates out of the spirit, not out of the mind. It operates out of your spirit. You know, I mean, I noticed when Wanda and I were just here, just, you know, and being at the hospital the other day, and we went into the emergency room, the doctor that she was with had sent her, told her to go up, have her thing with her heart checked. And we went in, and as they told us more things that were going on, we're sitting there. You know, and I'm thinking from the outside, I'm hearing all this thing in my mind, and my mind's over here. Man, you don't like this stuff. You're here. You don't want to have things. But I said, you know, the whole crazy thing about it, inside me, and I was just totally, in my heart, I'm at total peace. I'm at total rest on the inside, and my mind's doing something else. See, most Christians never come in contact with their spirit. All they operate is in their mind, and that's why they have confusion going on all the time. They don't have another place to hook up. They don't know how to hook up with their spirit. They don't feed their spirit. They don't feed their inner man. They only feed their mind with what's going on around them. Man, I'm going to tell you what. You know why people are worried today and people are depressed? Well, you're going to be if all you can do is hook up to the outside. If you can only hook up to your mind, there ain't no other place to be. Folks, there's no other place to be. You know, you don't sit there in an emergency room and the things going on around you and all you got your mind operating, you better have something else going on inside of you besides that. Because You know, because there's one thing about it. Like, I've done this for years, is telling people, you know, you need to learn how to walk by faith if you're going to go to a doctor. Because they might just tell you a lot of things you don't want to hear. You don't want to be meditating on and thinking about. Now, I said what they're going to tell you is the truth of what they know. But if you're a person who don't know how to walk by faith, man, you can end up worse off when going to the doctor, hearing things, and destroy what little faith you got. If you don't build your faith and know how to look at what the doctor says, and well, no, praise God, God will help us in this thing. If you can't do that, and many times people can't. I've seen people go to the doctor and end up worse off than what they were. I mean, they end up worrying more about things. And see, we have to learn that stuff. That's why you want to develop in faith in the Word of God. And that's why the Word of God is so important, because of your prayer life. If your prayer life is operated out of your mind, it's not going to go nowhere. It's out of your heart. It's what you're saying out of your heart. And we used the scriptures last week that Jesus Christ Himself said in John the 15th chapter, in verse 7, He said, "If you abide in Me and My words abide in you," My words living in you, it's not in your mind, in you, inside of you, in your inner. If your words are living in His words, He's My words living inside of you. My words are what? Spirit, and their life. Their life. Man, you need that. The inner man, your inner man has no more life in him than he has the words of God in him. He has no more life in him than he has that. He has no more life. So you want to get the Word inside the inner man, in your heart. I don't know any other way than taking time to do that. There's no quick fix that I know of that you can do this. I don't know any way that you can just go hear one sermon and all of a sudden you're Mr. or Mrs. Spirituality. I don't know how. I haven't been able to do that. My teachers that trained me didn't know how to do it any other way. It takes time. You know, it just takes natural education. Doesn't take time. We don't send kids to school 1 year and then they become a doctor. You know, just send them. They went to first grade and now they're out doing surgery. But you know what? That's what most Christians are trying to do. Most Christians are trying to mature. They want to go to a service here or go to something there and they want to hear something a little bit. Woo! You know, I'm just doing really good. It doesn't work that way. It takes time. I don't know any way to do it than take time. Takes time to sit down. Now, it's amazing, the more you will put the Word in you. I found this out. I had to, when I first started off as a Christian, getting the Word into me was one of the big things that I did. And I spent a lot of time not doing other things, getting away from other stuff and other people. You know, sometimes people are doing stuff and even family getting togethers and all, you know, and everybody, oh, we want, well, you know, we want to go and we love our families. One of the best things you can do for your family is to love them is get spiritual. Get spiritual. If you love your family, get spiritual. You'll do more for your family spiritual than you ever will just hanging out with them. And I took lots of time. You can ask my wife. I took a lot of time where I would just turn around and meditating in the Word, listening to teaching, doing things, just sitting, filling myself with the Word, changing. Because you know what? My mind, when I entered the kingdom, my mind dominated me and ruled me, and so did yours. You see, if a person don't get in the Word, I don't care if they get born again, they're still mind-ruled. If they don't learn to get in the mood and get the spirit stronger than the brain, my spirit is much stronger than my mind. Most people's minds are much stronger than their spirit, and that's where the problem lies. So the spirit has the mind has the loudest voice. The mind talks the loudest. You see, I've learned this over there. I can stand in the middle of a lot of trouble and I can locate my spirit. I can hear it. I can be in a lot of turmoil and I can hear my spirit. Didn't happen overnight. I didn't cause Ed some kind of rocket scientist either. I just went and practiced what Kenneth Hagin and some of those guys told me I ought to do. Guys like Charles Capps told me what I needed to do. I just went and started doing what they said. To now, you know, it was like to me is to sit with Wanda there. There was no stress. I wasn't under stress. My mind was over there going off into Wonderland. That's where it goes, don't it? It goes off into Wonderland. Here's everything that goes on and wants to think about it. Even stuff that ain't even shouldn't even be thinking about. You'll get over thinking about things a doctor never even said, but your imagination will run off with you and then you'll go blab-mouthing it around and make it completely real to you. Oh, yeah. Come on. We've done that, haven't we? Come on. Come on. Don't sit around and look like, oh, Lord, me, I'm just such a cute little thing, me. No, we've done that. But I tell you what, learning to locate in the inside, you know, and I'll tell you, it's just like me. I can't, when I look at the things going on, I just can't find nothing but peace on the inside. I find rest on the inside. I don't know about you. I like to go park there. Hallelujah. I like to park at that. I like to speak out of that place instead of speaking out of this place. If this place can't line up with that place, I ain't joining with that thing saying. This is why it's so hard in the areas where a lot of people have a trouble with the areas of faith, because most people that are going to be around you will talk out of their minds all the time. And you're going to look like a weirdo if you talk out of your heart. They'll, well, what? Oh, we're in this trouble. This is what we need to do. Oh, this is, they're all over there. You know, they want to do it. And you're over here. No, everything's okay. It's all right. And they're looking at you like, what an idiot. What a crazy. Don't they see all the problems? Don't they see all this? Can't they understand? No, I can't. I'm well educated on the inside. The brain still gets out there in Wonderland, joins Alice every once in a while. Does yours ever go to that place with Alice? Did you ever go down the rabbit hole with your mind? Well, not even because yours not weird. That's what happens with the mind. But you got to learn, if you make your spirit strong, your mind won't dominate you. When it wants to go down the rabbit hole, you tell it to go and you just keep walking, because you got something you're in contact with on the inside. Most people don't realize that all their body is, and their mind and stuff, is part of the house that they live in. And most people don't realize that their inner man is a real spiritual person, the real them. It's going to be wonderful when this is what happens. It blows people's mind when they get to heaven and they don't have a body hanging on them, the thing they've been dominated and ruled by. And they get to heaven. And I'm sure it blows people just like, my God, what a difference. Now the actual inner man gets to be dominant. You know, your inner man can become dominant here. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to have that happen. Your inner man can come be dominant here. And see, this is, we need to understand, because this is about the prayer life. See, the prayer life is tied to the dominance of the spirit realm. It's not tied to the dominance of who's the smart guy or who can quote the most scriptures of this intellectualism, you know. We had a guy here was here at the church here the one day. He was invited that Josh had Tenek had invited, and he came up and ministered, and a gift of the Spirit operated through me for him, and I talked to him and answered a question for him. He had been asking God. He said, I've been asking the Lord about this for a long time, and he said, you just gave me the answer to it. He said, it's exactly what I've been asking God. You spoke. Well, you know, I didn't know it. I didn't know what was going on. It was a gift of the Holy Ghost. Wasn't it? It ain't no genius. He said to me, he said this. He said, man, you're really different. He goes to a very large church. He said, you're really different than our pastor is. He said, boy, you flow in a different place than he does. He said, he's just mostly just a public speaker, and he's one of these guys that can, you know. I thought, how terrible. Sitting there, you know, he's just a good speaker. I tell you, I'm serious. There's sinners that I could go get and give them sermon notes, and they would preach them better than a lot of pastors I know, because they're good public speakers, and they're good. They're good. Well, don't qualify as a good public speaker. My grammar and all that is. But hallelujah, the Holy Ghost can say stuff. And this is what you want to do. You want to hook up on the inside, because there in that place, if you get the Word of God in you, it isn't a matter. Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. That's what you'll be speaking, spirit and life. That's what you want to speak, spirit and life. That's what you want to talk. In your situations in life, you want to be talking life, not death. You're just hanging out of your mind. You're going to be talking what you see, what you feel, all that kind of stuff is going on, you know. I mean, just think about all that's attached to your brain that's going on up there, you know, in that place. You know, every sense, all of your senses are tied to that. And it's just feeding off of every sense. And it'll continue to give you information based on that sense. It's good if it's under control, but lots of times it gets out of control. Especially when problems arise, most people go out of control. They're not operating in a place of control, and that's where you want to be. If anything, when problems arise, that's the place you want to be in control. You know, you need good thought at the time when the problems are there and facing you, and not be out of control in your thinking. And that's the great wonder of staying hooked up on the inner man and not operating out of the outer man. See, many people are asking God for peace, but what they want is natural peace. There will be no natural peace in this earth. I mean, Jesus himself said in the end time, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars and all this stuff. There's not going to be natural peace. If you're thinking of on that level, then you're natural and you're not listening spiritually. You can be in the middle of the greatest turmoils in the areas of the natural and be a total peace on the inside. The peace that God will give you is the peace that passes understanding, so it's not tied to your brain, is it? It's not tied to your mind. I mean, if anybody wanted to get your minds would always be at peace, I think we just have to get it, probably shoot you in the head. I don't know how else to stop it, you know. I wouldn't know what else to do about it. What would we do? Because the mind can always have things going on around you. You're not going to have that. Your mind. I learned from Kenneth Hagin said this. I remember he said about it. I didn't understand it at first when he first said as a young Christian. He said, you can be over in the areas where he said, where you're operating, where he said you're operating in the area of faith and your heart's in faith and moving toward God and your head's just totally out in another direction. And he said, you can bring things to pass just by staying over in your heart and your mind isn't even joined with you on it. Your mind's afraid and everything else. And I thought, dear Lord, how does that work? Well, as I gained a little bit of spirituality, I started to understand. Because sometimes I've gotten into situations where I knew in my heart, I kept saying what was in my heart. Boy, but my mind was giving me a rough time. Have you ever been there? Where your mind just trying to give you a good licking. You know? And you're there, I would go to bed and lay down and my mind would start going over to some other this place I didn't want it to go. But every time I get over looking on the inside, I knew it's all right. Don't you worry about it. This is good. You know, we're okay. But I learned this, and you're going to have to learn this when it comes to praying and everything else. Even though that stuff's going over there in your mind, you need to keep your voice tied to your inner man. If your voice is not tied to the inside, you're going to be speaking on what's the outside and defeating your own faith. Jesus said you're going to have what you say. He didn't say you're going to have what you believe. You're going to have what you're saying. You better learn to control your mouth. Folks, people don't know how to control their mouth in prayer. They talk junk in prayer, say the wrong stuff in prayer. They don't talk about their confidence in God. All God knows is they're griping and complaining about the problem all the time. All he hears out of them is really the negative side of things all the time, you know, the bad side of it. That's all he hears out of them, you know. He doesn't hear out of them. They don't talk their faith. They talk their worries and fears. You know, sometimes you talk to God, Lord, this is what's going on here. You see what's happening? Now, God, you got to come over here. Did you ever see, sit down and look at the Psalms sometimes. Some of the Psalms, David's very good. I learned from David. David would get before God and start talking about all the rotten stuff going on. Then he would stop and say, okay, but God, you said, bang, and he would go over on there with what happens to the good guys and what happens to the bad guys. Most people's prayers life is, the good guy's going to get beat up. You know, I'm the good guy, and I'm getting licked, and I'm getting... They never get over to that place. They stay in their mind. They stay in their mind and never begin to speak and pray out of their heart and speak to God out of their heart. And what happens is this. Christians get what's in their mind in their hearts. And after a while, they're nothing but junk coming out of their heart. See, if you let the junk in your mind get into your heart, and that becomes your belief system, you're going to be bringing death to pass. You start talking death instead of life. Jesus' words are life, but there's a lot of words. The Bible says that there's no voices out here without any, you know, that aren't important. There's all of them are important. What voice are you listening to? What voice are you putting into your heart? Get the Word of God. It's spirit and it's life. Get the spirit in life in you. Get that inside of you. That's the words of Jesus. If my words abide in you, he said this, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. In Mark 11:24, let me just say this concerning prayer because I want to make mention about this. We'll might probably talk about it later, but I just came up in my spirit, so I'm going to go that direction. I'm not going to follow my notes. In Mark 11:24, the King James Version says, whatever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive it. The New King James says, whatever you ask. But actually, if both of them are actually right, because if you look at that word means, actually, there's a one that they don't use, translation. I'm not sure if any of the translations use it. I don't know one. But that word, actually, you could use the word ask, or you could say desire, or require. Whatever you require when you pray, what you require. What you require when you pray. Well, here he talks about desire, or whatever you require. He's talking here about, so whatever you ask for what you desire or what you require, and it shall be done for you, what you require. You know, there's a different thought, and I liked it when I first understood that about requiring, because what you're requiring God to do, which means, is it really a whole different view? Most people think about the word asking and what they're trying to, they look at asking, I'm asking God to do something, now we've got to see if he's going to do it. That's how way they think. Most people think, well, Jesus wasn't saying that. Mark 11:24, he talked about that desire or the thing you require or you're asking. You're supposed to believe you receive it. In other words, you're just asking. It's sort of like if I had a toolbox sitting here and Mike had a tool. Let's say Mike has a toolbox and he has his toolbox there. And Mike says, you know, Ed, any tool that you need from this box, I want you to know that you can use it. You can have any of those tools you want to use. I say, well, thanks, Mike. I don't need anything right now, but I do. But I come along and I say to Mike, you got a half-inch wrench in there. Would you give that to me? I'm asking him to give me out of there. Wow, I expect him to give it to me. He said he would, of whatever I wanted in there. See, most people don't pray like that. They pray like they're asking God, and then they're waiting to find out. And they wonder why. I'm just waiting. We're waiting on God. We're waiting. No, you're not waiting on God. You never received anything from God. You ask him like you didn't know if he was going to give it to you. You're asking like you're waiting for him to give it to you. No, it says you're supposed to believe you receive it. See, before I would ask Mike, I already am dumb enough to believe. He said I could have it. I'm just believe that if I ask for him, he's going to give it to me. I'm not acting waiting to see if Mike will give it to me. I know he's going to give it to me. He said he would. Well, Mike ain't a liar. So Mike's going to give it to me. See, we're dealing here as a prayer with faith, and we need to understand this. This is about operating out of your spirit. This isn't like operating out of your mind. See, most people pray and stuff out of their mind, and their idea is, well, I'm going to go ask somebody to do something. I'm going to go ask somebody I don't know about. This is why you have to know the Word of God in prayer. You got to know what God said he has given you. The Bible says you've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Do you know you already are? You're not going to be. You are. Well, then if you are, then I can require God to give it to me. If there's a blessing the Word says I can have, he has to give it to me when I ask. If he don't, he lied. Is Mike honest and God a liar? I can trust Mike by knowing him that he would give me the tool I'd ask for that he said I could have. But God, we're not so sure about, you know. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no. And sometimes he doesn't give it to you because he knows it's best that if he doesn't. The Bible never says any of that, but that's all implied in teaching as you go and listening. And over the years, you listen to this junk. And I know I had it taught me very well from the time I was a kid in churches. We were taught that very well. You can't trust God. And then they would tell you, trust the Lord. We had the most schizophrenic preachers you ever heard in your life. They had a God who was as schizo as they were. You could never figure out what on earth he's doing. I tell you, never. But see, those things are, and you know what happened? Loads of people. Their God's a schizophrenic God. You don't ever know what he's going to do. He just might get weird on you. You know, you don't know. He could promise anything he wants and he don't have to do it. But he's a good God. You see, all this affects how you go to God and how you present yourself. We're singing about going into the presence boldly. You can't go boldly in the presence and have any of this kind of religious thinking in you. Your prayer life will be stagnant. If you have any, you got to throw this stuff out. You got to throw the old God of your past out and take the God of the Bible in. Take him in. Hallelujah. The one that said to you when he made this, if you abide in me, well, do you abide in him? You're born again. You're in him. Can't get more in him. I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you get born again. God in you and you in God. That's what the Bible says. I'm just dumb and believe it's true. I don't know. People say, well, how do you figure that? Does this make sense? I don't even care if it makes sense. I don't want to get my little pea rolling around up here even trying to get intellectually looking at it. All it is God's word, and it's true, and it's spirit, and it's life. And that's what I'm interested in. I'm interested in the spirit and life and not the intellectualism of it, how it works. I don't care how it works. I don't care how God brings things to pass. I just want him to bring it to pass. My job ain't to be God to figure out that. See, most people, they live in that wonderland all the time. They're always wondering about God. Man, they even got over it in faith yet with him. They're still wondering about it. Don't get into wondering about God. The word says something about him. It's true. Just leave it at that. Hallelujah. Just stay over there in that place. I don't have to figure it out. He said he would do it. I don't know how he heals, how he turns around and makes a tumor disappear in a person. I ain't got that one figured out. I don't know. I don't know how that works. Thank God he don't ask me to do that. I wouldn't know how to do it. So why get over there thinking about it unless he tells me how to do it? Well, then, no, fine. But other than that, I don't, and I don't need to go to that place. I don't have to go there. That's his job. Is that good news? That's the good part of it. See, most people don't come to God in faith because they're always trying to, they're trying to be God, trying to figure out God. Oh, man, that's too big for me. Hallelujah. But I can read the book he gave me. And I can see the promises and the things that he said and how things work in the book. So in other words, I can find out what my part is and what his part is. Oh, my words. Folks, I tried when I first started out as a Christian. A few times I got over and tried to be the God part of it. Man, I'll tell you what, that's a bad job. It don't work out well for humans trying to be God. What you'll end up is in faithlessness. Because you're going to find out quick, you can't bring it to pass. My job is never to bring it to pass. My job is always just to believe God will. See, most people's, their faith is always tied into trying to bring it to pass. That's why their faith don't work, because their faith ain't according to Scripture. I don't have to bring it to pass. I have to believe it's true. I got to talk like the promise is true. That's my job. My job's not, that Jesus said, you know, the guy who he believed he received it, he said he'll have, then he'll have it. He's going to have it. What? He has to believe he receives it. He never told me to believe anything about how it works or whatever else or whatever I had to do. He never said nothing. I don't have to do none of that, thank God. Hallelujah. See, we can get over in our prayer lives where we're trying to, in a sense, force God to do things. We're not operating in areas of faith. I've seen people do that. Oh, they just keep going after God about something. Like, if I keep whining and try to twist his arm and keep trying to do things, and I'll just keep, if I just keep crying out to him. Have you heard ministers? I've heard them teaching things, and they'll turn around and say, you know, ask and you shall receive. Well, you know, it's just keep asking and keep asking. Now, I'm going to tell you what. When my kids did that, all I could think about was slapping them. They just keep hounding you all the time. You said no. And they just keep coming back and sticking. My kids learned quick you didn't do that to me. Because you did that to me, things don't turn out well. You never get your things answered whining to me. And as pastor, it don't work either. Because I have to let you know that that don't work anyhow. It don't work with God. Why try it on people? So you might have been able to get mama to give in to you. She ruined your life by giving in to you. and not teaching you because you carry it over with God and think he operates that way. And that's why people say, well, see, sometimes God says yes and sometimes he says no. They base it upon whether it showed up or not. But what happened was they were never in faith to begin with in the asking. They're hounding God. You don't ever do that. You don't hound God. You don't hound him. You know, as a young Christian, I used to do some dumb things in prayer. He was quite merciful to me. Sometimes even talk nice to me. I could just sort of get sort of like a sense like he patted me on the head like, he's young, he don't know, he's dumb. And he was good to me and he answered things for me. But as I got older and could understand spiritual things anymore, and I look back and I think, my God, was he merciful to an idiot? You know, I was pushing on things I shouldn't have been pushing on. I was trying to do things. I wasn't really in a place of faith. I'm trying to get God, if I force him enough, and stay after. See, sometimes that people think prayer and fasting's about. Fasting's pushing on God. You know, I just get really over there and get intense. Fasting's for one purpose, for you to get your flesh under control. Most of the time, people don't hear from God because their flesh is out of control. People need to do more fasting. Most people's flesh is too much out of control. It's about getting your flesh under control where you can hear the inner man. You can tell this. If fasting seems a really hard thing to you, missing meals, then you know this. Your flesh is out of control. I see it's too hard to do. Hey, well, just face it. I'll tell you what. Can't your flesh get noisy when you don't feed it? So you can find out how powerful your flesh is. Do something it don't like. Just as most people are very flesh dominated. Whatever the flesh tells them to do, they're just going to do whatever the flesh tells them to do. And that's where the devil rules at. The devil rules in that place. It's good preaching anyhow. We're dealing with areas of prayer, but if you don't understand these things, you'll never be effective in prayer. We can go over and teach on the subject, but we teach people on the subject of prayer, and what happens? They just go over to follow principles, but never really deal with what it is approaching God. You have to have a great confidence in God. You know, come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, see, I was taught religiously in church. You know, you sneak up on God, you wouldn't go in boldly. It's funny, that scripture must not have been in the Bible of those days. I guess, I don't know, just that must have been added. I don't know. They never talked about coming boldly to the throne of grace. I never heard that one preached. They didn't preach that one. They always preach about, oh, you got to watch out with God. You know, it was always this, you know, God, you got to really be careful about, you know, this. He's so sensitive and touchy. You know, anything might set him off. You know, and especially if he got up mad one day. Oh, my God, what might happen? You know, so nobody had, you know, we were never taught to approach God with confidence. And I remember when I first got born again and listening to teaching about that, I used to just make marvel me with Kenneth Hagin would talk about God, and I used to sit and think, my God, this guy acts like he lives with him. And then he made the statement one time, and he said, I know God better than I know my wife laying in bed beside me. I thought, dear Lord, knows God better? I thought that was way out. That was definitely wonderland to my mind. That inwentive mind did go to wonderland. I didn't probably come back for a while. I probably stayed longer than Alice did. But you know what? Over the years, I know exactly what he's talking about. I know God better than I do my wife. I don't know if you could ever know a woman. Relax there now, relax there. Sit down there. No. But you know what? Don't even think about why. Because we deal with a God who never changes. People change. We're dealing with human beings. And as I got to learn to know God, I thought, my word. I got to the point where I know how God's going to react in situations. I know in my response to him and his response to me. You know those things. And you know, you have things like that in your own life with a mate. But not like you have with God. And I thought, you know, to me that seemed like something far out there. But you know, we can actually come to that place. I learned coming. Let me tell you something. This is not specific with prayer. Too many people, and the reason marriages and stuff have problems, is too many people put the pressure on their mate spirituality instead of reaching to God. They want their mate to be their fulfillment instead of God. My wife's not my fulfillment. She ain't God to to me, expecting her wanting to do things is me stepping over bounds in the flesh. See, you don't want to reach over there to that place, because what happens? You'll put pressure on a mate to be with. I watch people do that. Their mate is what they demand to take care of, and they keep them happy and doing. No, you don't do that. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. I'm sure you can ask Wanda. Ed's not always the peachy keen guy to live with. And she ain't always the peachy keen person. We cannot turn around and make, she has to do what she can to keep Ed happy. Or I have to do what I can to keep her happy. She can't walk in peace. She needs to get right with God. If Ed can't walk in peace, he needs to get right with God. If a mate decides not to walk right, what are you going to do? Become unspiritual just because? See, this is where it goes wrong. What happens? People put demands on people because they don't walk on what's on the inside. They only live on the outside. They're always looking for something the outside to satisfy. My wife could never give me all I want. She can't do it. If she wants me to give everything she wants, man, it's unreasonable. I ain't God. I ain't going to try to be God. Folks, this is just some great marriage counselors right there. Most people, you sit on a marriage counselor, the person, even was wrong, but still they're wrong because they're demanding of their mate to keep them happy. They don't know how to walk with God themselves, and you need to learn how to do that, because in life, you're always going to run into problems, folks. You're always going to run into troubles. You're always going to run into people that ain't going to do right. People aren't going to be right. And you find people, that's why people are going to their jobs. Boy, I hate my job. I hate doing it. I hate going to work. Why? Because what happens? They're trying to have the peace and joy by all the people around them. Ain't ever going to happen, man. Man, I remember working at Reese's. I mean, most people were unhappy, and they were unhappy because they were idiots. Because they were always trying to, the company's supposed to keep them happy. Their people working around them are always supposed to do what they want and keep them happy all the time. All they were is pains and rear end. And then those people complained that Reese's was a problem. No, they were a problem. Because they're always trying to stay. There ain't no place to go in this earth. There's no place that, I found out. Some people, I want to be in the ministry. Man, if you didn't like the place you work, stay out of the ministry. Dear God. You think you had trouble and people doing things? Dear God, you'll have it 100-fold. Jesus didn't tell the disciples that when all those mamas and brothers and family, they were going to get 100-fold of, each one of them is going to get 100-fold more problems. So he didn't tell them that. Jesus, you should have. But you know what? Don't feel sorry for the ministry, because that it doesn't matter if that goes on. My peace in my life has to be between me and God. It's not people keeping me happy. See, people are always going through this stuff, somebody. Now, it's off the course, but I'll tell you what, it'll sure help you in life, and it'll sure help you in your prayer life, keeping yourself right, even for praying for people. If you have demands on people and things, you'll never pray for them right. You'll pray for them like they're a nuisance, and you need to get them straightened out, because, that's so they get straightened out, you'll be happy. I've seen it already. People straighten out, but the person that wanted them straightened out still don't like it because they didn't straighten out to what they wanted. Trying to keep them happy. And some people never straighten out. So that's life. They never straighten out. So what am I going to do? Walk around all the time wringing my hands, upset, and everything else? No, if I'm going to have to walk at peace, and I'm going to have to walk on the inside, I'm going to have to do that. Man, you need peace when trouble's on. You need the peace when there are problems on. That's when you need it. And it's not a peace on the outside. It's a peace on the inside that you can just keep walking in, that you can keep on, that's on the inside. See, in contact. When you're in contact in that place, that's the place where you're in contact with the Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit communes with your spirit. He never talks to your mind. He talks to your inner man. The still small voice. The still small voice is that voice that's on the inside of you. It's in your spirit. You got to be able to hear that. The Holy Ghost, most of the times when he said, he ain't a blaring voice. There's times that he had to blare for me, and it's usually because I was missing it. It wasn't because I was so spiritual. See, most people want to know, I need a visitation from God. Maybe you don't need one. A lot of people, I think they've had visitations because they needed a visitation. God couldn't have to do something to get a hold of them. Like Randy Greer said, a good friend of his told him one time, said, the reason Brother Hagin prophesies over you so much is because you're so messed up. Some people don't realize the fact of, you know, God visits and talks to us because we're in a problem. We're a problem. We need, and he has to manifest himself in a way. I learned that over time. There's times that God had to manifest himself in a very spectacular way. It's because I was missing it. It wasn't because I was on target. Some people God just can't even talk to either way. And I'm telling you, that's the truth. Some people, if they don't straighten some things out, God just sit back and watch them, let them go to their ruin. It's good preaching anyhow. We need to know these things. And see, if we go over to the areas of prayer, hallelujah. Again, the Holy Spirit carried me off into Wonderland, I think. Hallelujah. I really did have good notes, but I can't get no further in this stuff. Hallelujah. We go over there. But folks, it deals a lot on the areas of attitude and all this stuff. God's taking us to a place. God wants you to walk into his presence with full confidence in him. When you're in his presence, you're focused on him. You're not focused on what's going on in your problems. See, most people, they drag all their problems and worries into God. The Bible says, cast your care on him. He cares for you. He didn't say, come over here and gripe to God about your problems. This is what most people think casting your care is going over their tent. Well, God, this ain't working. Look what happened over this, this, that. No, it's casting, Lord, you see all this problem I got? I'm giving that one to you. I ain't got a clue what to do with it. Hallelujah. I'm just going to believe you're going to take care of me in this thing. I don't know how you're going to fix it, but you will. Casting your care. No, they'll leave that place and got just as much gripe on their voice as they did when they went in. They never cast it over there on the Lord. They never threw it over there. They come back out with the same gripe that they went in with. And then they call a prayer chain and gripe to them about it. And then they go to church and go around and gripe to people about it to pray for them. And you just wasting your time praying for them. Because they do nothing but tear up everything that's prayed as they go along in their asking. You don't want to do that. Hallelujah. You know. Don't be one of those people that you have to tell everybody the dirty details all the time. Some people just think fulfilled to tell every nasty thing about the problem. But that's going to turn. No, it don't. Keeps you over in the place where you can't get rid of it and get it off of you, and it'll stay on you for the rest of your life. You don't need to tell the dirty details of everything. You know? Hallelujah. You got to learn to do these. I'm talking about prayer. Do you want to be effective at prayer? There's one thing that's wonderful about God. God said we can ask. We can ask for things. What do we go when we ask? What's the desire of my heart? Are we talking to him about the desire of my heart? Or are we just focused on problems? We're supposed to be focused on answers. When you walk in the door of prayer, you're supposed to be focused on answers. What is your desire? What is it? He didn't say, what's your problem? Whatever your problem is, drag it in here. He said, what's the desire? What do you want? See, if you know you have a problem, well, what's your desire? What do you want fixed about? What do you want done about that thing? What do you want? Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose. Think about that. See, most people, they haven't told God how they want it fixed or what they want done. I've had the Lord ask me already in circumstances when I have gone to him about a certain situation, dealing sometimes with people, things, and fix. And I've had the Lord say, well, what do you want me to do with it? He's asked me. See, most people, if you go and all you got on your mind is what your problem is, you'll never hear God talking to you and say, you know, what do you want? You're going to be so noisy in your mind, you'll never hear, because it wasn't a thunder on the inside of me. But on the inside of me, that still small voice was, what do you want done about this? First time he did that to you, it shocked me so much. I thought, God? You know, see, I've been taught all my life, you know, God only gives you what he wants. They never preached to Ed that God will ask you what you want. They didn't preach that to us. He'll only give you what he wants. Well, then what's the point of asking? There is no point. I can see how people's prayer lives are so messed up. And he said, well, how do you want it? And I remember the first time I did it, I was so shocked. I told the Lord, what I thought ought to be done. After I said it to him, inside of me, he said, all I heard was, okay. Within 2 days, exactly what I asked to turn around in that situation, I asked about it, it happened exactly like I asked, identical. You see, many times when it goes in the areas of prayer, people are not being specific about their desire. They're specific about their problems. What do you want? What is it you're after? Just like the Lord told me concerning finances last year when he started talking to me about it, what's been going on, his discontent in the church world, what they've done with people where ministries have gained great wealth, but the people haven't. He's talking to me about this thing. He's talking to me about how, and then he gets over, he goes, money-wise. Because, you know, I hear, you know, people say, well, God, you know, everybody's going to be a millionaire. That ain't what he told me. He said to me, he said, you can go as far as you want to go. How far do you want to go? It's up to you. How far do you want to go in this? When I thought about this, well, we were always told. I realize this, that most people probably are never going to be a billionaire because they're never going to go to the place of the believing place where they could be. They'll always have that catch in their mind, is this asking too much? See, God helped, like I talked about Mike and him, God helped Mike and him with that to get him to break that barrier over, am I going too far? See, he don't want him to have that. He don't want to have that. Am I asking too much? It's like Randall Greer. He said, you can have any kind of plane you want. He said, what do you want? God said, I ain't set no limits on you on a plane. He says, it's what you can believe for. I mean, think about that. So God wouldn't have cared if Randall Greer would have believed for a 747. God said, you can have any plane you want. Now think about that. I mean, that'll hair lip most Christians. I mean, they just, oh, I don't know if that's true. I don't know that. But now, understand this. See, I listen to these people talk about this stuff because this is God's communication to him when you're talking and you're asking about things. You come in with a limited way of thinking, you're going to have a limited thing going on with God. When it came to finances, I had a very limited thing going with God. Yet, I mean, I was blessed and God taking care of Wanda and I, and we had a good life and stuff. But I set the goals of it. God never set a goal in it, or he never set none of it. I had set them all by the way I thought. By the way I was thinking, I had set boundaries where I'd never crossed. It was like Randall Greer. He said, you know, in plain, that changed him because when God dealt with him on that, and the whole reason he does lots of times ministers deal that they pay attention is to teach the people. That's what we do it for, is to teach the people. Then God tells us how we've been stupid, how we can fix it, and then we're supposed to tell you so you don't have to do the stupid stuff we did. Too many people still like to do the stupid stuff. You know, he taught me the things about finances and stuff. He taught me those things and told me to tell people about it, to tell the congregation about it. We talked about it. I use it numbers of times. But dealing with the areas in these areas about where we don't set our boundaries and things, you know, of getting over the things of God's blessing to we approach God, you can't boldly come to the throne of grace if you have set limits. You're going to only operate in the freedom in the presence of God based on the limits you've set. By what you ask or what you're believing or what you think God will do. Or maybe you don't know. You're one of those, well, we're just going to turn it over to God's hands. How many of people tell? There is a sense sometimes of things you turn over to God's hand because you ain't got a clue. Most people put things in God's hands because of their ignorance of the Word. And God can't do anything for them because he expects them to go to the Word and find out. See, you might get, as a baby Christian, you might get away with some of that. But you're not going to continue to get away with that. You're going to have to go to God, find out what his word says. Go to the promise of the Lord. You said this in your word. You said that in your word. And just in scripture I want to use here for you, and you've heard me use this scripture many times, from 1 John, the 5th chapter. It's one of my favorite things concerning, now this is dealing with the areas of faith. This is you praying concerning yourself, not somebody else praying for other people. This is the prayer of faith with you as an individual coming to God. Where you have a right in your life for you. And that's what you want. Your life. You. I mean, it's the most, to me, this scripture here has just been one that I can sit back and quote this scripture like lives. This scripture lives in Ed. It lives in me. It really does. It lives in me. This thing rolls. So 1 John the 5th chapter and verse 14. Now this is John right now. Understand, John wrote in 1 John. John said he was writing the things in the beginning that Jesus taught them. He was teaching us. So Jesus taught them this. John said he's writing this whole letter he was writing based on, because, you know, he walked with Jesus and the things that they were taught with Jesus, he's teaching. John wrote here in 1 John the 5th chapter, he says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, I want you, now really, is to meditate on that. Not something from a mental standpoint. Meditate on that fact that he made this statement. John said, the confidence that we have in God, this is the confidence we have, that if we ask anything according to his will, that he hears us. You see, this is one of the things. Many people, they're not sure if God heard them. They go back and back like God hasn't heard. They got to just keep hounding on, just keep hounding. They're not acting like he heard. John said this, if I would ask God anything according to his will, I'm supposed to have this confidence he heard me. Well, then do I have to go back and yell at him again, or maybe, you know, go on top of the mountain and yell something? You know, I don't know. No, he said, you're supposed to have this confidence that if you went and asked God for something, and it was according to his will, then you know he hears you. You know, to me, that's just, that is a wonderful thing. That changed, understanding that changed my prayer life with God, because walking into God, I know if I'm talking to him, and I talk to God about his will, and I know when I'm talking to him about his will, I got his ear. I got his ear. So I'm not trying to, you know, I don't have to come up with some sad story. I don't have to come up. I don't have to have anything wrong. You know, don't have to have one need of money in my life, and I can still walk into God and ask him for, according to his will, for more money. And I still have money right now, and I can still go ask him for more. Now, most people never do that. Well, that there sort of seems good. Was according to his will. He said, I'll set the limits on it. He didn't. I'm going to set the limits on it. See, most people, I got limits. Well, I don't need anything right now. I always need something. I'm going to tell you what, I don't know about you, I'm going to need a lot of money next year. And if I'm going to wait till next year to start talking to God about it, forget it. Man, we get that stuff rolling in now. My word, let's get the barrel set up to dump that thing in, man. See, most people, they're running on need. Running on need. We got this need mentality, this need, and I it isn't a need. I don't have to have it, so I can't go there about that. I can't go to that place because it's not a need right now. All the bills are paid, looking pretty good, you know, and I've been able to give good. It's really nice. And say no. I'm going to tell you, my faith for next year is greater than my faith for this year. I'm asking more for next year than this year. It's my need, but I see my future need. See, most people are limited by what they have now. And this is what limits their confidence with God. They don't go to the place, I'm confident he's present. I ask anything according to his will. Well, hallelujah. But we ask anything according to his will. Then he says, and if we know that he hears us. Now listen to this. If you know that God hears you. See, this is the whole thing. Many people are going to prayer with God and they have no idea if he heard them or not. And this is why they get into the rut, to the routine of just constantly going back over and over. And just what they're doing, they keep plowing their field up. Nothing ever gets to grow in the field. Nothing ever gets to grow in the field because they plow it every day. They go out there and throw seed in, and then they come back the next day and plow it again. Throw seed in. Then they come back the next day and plow it again. They have enough. He said, no, if you're talking to the will of God, he said, you know he hears you. Now he says, and if you know that he hears you, whatever we ask, we know. He didn't say thought about it. He said, you know. This is what you're supposed to know. When you ask God, you're supposed to know that we have not going to get, that we have. He's speaking future tense. He's speaking present tense. At the time you pray, what do you say in Mark 11:24? Believe you receive. Believe you have received. Have at the time. This is what he's saying. We should know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. We have it. It belongs to us. You wouldn't go, why would you go back and plow the field again with the same old request when he already, you're supposed to know, he said yes on the deal, it's yours. Why would you go back and plow the field again? The only reason people go back, they have no idea if you heard them. If I could just get God to answer my prayer, if you could just believe he'd hear you, it would change everything. Because he said if you know that he heard you, John said then you're going to get it. If God heard you, does God hear everybody pray? No. I heard ministers say God hears everybody. It sure don't sound like to that scripture. There's a lot of wind blowing out here, folks. There's a lot of wind blowing. Hallelujah. Let's not make it our wind. See, God wants you to get answered prayers. God wants you, when you come before him, that you're confident. You know what his will says. Find out what his will says. If you don't, I mean, my words today, you can go over and look up ministries and that kind of stuff. You can get answers to things about from the Bible. If you don't know what the Bible says about something, it's so easy to find out. Well, we got into this laziness of asking somebody else to pray rather than we find out the will of God. Folks, that's laziness. We ask other people to pray, we should be knowledgeable ourselves. And see, lots of times the prayer, you know, things that they got, this prayer stuff becomes things where people come out of their laziness because they don't know and they're trying to get somebody else they figure knows and will get it for them. I want to tell you, I want you to come to the place where you know that God hears you. That you speak, God listens. And God gives you the petition that you ask, not the petition somebody else asked for you. Hallelujah. I want you to come to the place where you ask God. I'll tell you the most wonderful thing. When I found out God hears Ed, God responds to Ed. And I found out I could get anything. I didn't need a team of people to get anything I asked. I didn't need it. Oh, the most wonderful thing it was to find out that God listened to this stupid kid born in a poor family with, you know, out in the middle of nowhere, nobody heard from, and God listens to him. And wow! But I found it, it's anybody that believes this stuff. Anybody that believes what the Bible says instead of what's been preached to us over the years, it's limited us. And there's no excuse for you to stay in where you were taught in the past. You don't have an excuse for being there anymore. You've been around this stuff enough years to be out of that place. Oh, yeah. I didn't stay there and live there. And I didn't because I was a rocket scientist. I just decided, man, I heard good news and I decided, yeah, I ain't going back over listening to that religious junk he told me before. I know the devil now when he's talking. And he'll talk and tell you what God won't do for you. I want to tell you what God will. And if you know what the Bible says about a subject, God will do it for you. He'll bring that to pass in your life. He'll do it for you. He's blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. It ain't for a certain special group. It's for the people to believe it. Every spiritual blessing in heaven. See, people say, oh, that's spiritual blessing. Folks, there ain't any other kind of blessings from God than spiritual blessings. Physical comes out of the spirit. The spirit realm is what created the physical realm. If it ain't a spiritual blessing, then it's fleshly. And you don't want it anyhow. Healing, divine healing does not come from the physical. It comes from the spirit. Because that's why it's called divine healing. Sorry I spit on you, but you know us preachers, we spit. I'll tell you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, that's good. I tell you, they did a lot of that in the 50s. They used to spit. These guys could spit four or five rows. They were good at it. Hallelujah. I don't know why they spit in the anointing. It's just somehow, you know. Hey, Hey, Jesus spit on a guy's eyes and he was healed. Oh my God, you went out and spit on somebody today? I'm going to tell you, these nice little clean, spirit-filled churches would throw you right out of there. They don't care about God healing. You got to keep it nice and clean for everybody. You know, we have today, oh, germs and this. Ain't nothing but the devil. Everybody's scared of every little thing. Ain't nothing but the devil. That's all it is. Jesus couldn't go around spitting on people's eyes today, man. I'll tell you, could you imagine? Oh, my God. I'll tell you, spit in the ground, make spittle, and put it on the eyes. Oh, my God. Man, they'd lose their Christianity. Probably cuss you out right there. We don't do it
that way.
No, no. We have nice, clean. Wave your hand, and we all get well. And hallelujah. Mike got the anointing on him. Hallelujah. But I just want you guys, though, to get the point of God's reaching out to you and talking to you today about your response to him is come to him. Get this thing, get this confidence thing in you. Get this thing where you're confident about God. And you're going to find it from the scriptures. Get into the scriptures where it tells you. You know what his will is in a subject? He said, you know, you ask him. If you know he hears you, you know you got it. It belongs to you. It's yours. It belongs to you. You know, it's just like, you know, with Wanda, we believe for a quick recovery for her. We know it belongs to us. It belongs to us. It's ours. God heard Ed. God heard Wanda. It's ours. It belongs to us. That's why I said, you know, before about praying, don't get over praying, you know, trying to ask God to heal Wanda. Don't get over into that stuff. We already got it. You know, just become a cheerleader with us. Hallelujah. And cheer what God's doing, what we already have. Hallelujah. What already belongs to us. We don't want to get over there in that other place and get over there, well, you know, we resist God. Oh, we better call the prayer team. And, oh, we better get this and we better get that. Hallelujah. What the best thing you can ever do is get some good information on God and then believe it and then declare it, hallelujah, with confidence, and it's yours. Glory to God. This is why, you know, it don't take a huge amount of people to change things in America. It takes somebody who knows how to walk in the presence of God. My words, we got churches out here in America with 30,000 people that, my words, couldn't move a pimple. They couldn't get a pimple to pop. And they couldn't. A crowd ain't the answer. The answer is to find a person who can walk into the presence of God and know, what I'm going to ask him, I'm getting it. That's the answer to prayer. It's not the group. It's the person. Well, what if you could get a group to do it, though? My God. It's like having the atomic bomb. I'm going to tell you what, this church could have a nuclear explosion in the realm of the Spirit. I'd take you people before loads of these churches that got by the thousands, because you know how to believe God. Most of those churches, I know Spirit-filled churches and big ones, if I went in and talked to what I just said today, it would choke the whole bunch of them, even the pastor. He'd never get what I'm talking about. And they talk about spirit-filled. I still don't know what spirit it is, but it's not the one I got. You know why? This is an intellectualism. And most Christians have been taught intellectually. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what. You move heaven with your voice. You move heaven with your voice. You move heaven with your voice. Think about that. Your voice. I bet God gets so excited when somebody steps up like they belong there in his presence. I believe he gets really excited about it. I believe the angels are, whoa, we got a live one here, Lord. You hear this guy? Woo! What's he? Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. We're going to have communion today.